Teaming Up by Dead Cake, a Stargate Atlantis fic with a relationship between Rodney McKay, John Shepherd, and Elizabeth Weir, rating mature. Additional tags for polyamory, established relationship, teasing, workplace relationship, puddle jumpers, and chopping wood. It's easy, almost too easy. John glances at her, shares a small roll of his eyes and a smirk before he turns his attention back to Rodney. Elizabeth knows what he's going to say even before he opens his mouth. "You mean the toilets on the jumpers are like the replicators on the Enterprise?" he asks, blandly genuine in just the right way to have steam coming out of Rodney's ears. "I am absolutely not saying that," Rodney snaps, "and please don't ever name anything replicator, no matter how Roddenberry-esque it might be. That's just asking for it out here." It's easy to follow John's lead. "But the toilets do resequence matter," Elizabeth says, examining the readout on the tablet Rodney had thrust into her hands when they'd arrived in the jumper bay. Rodney sputters for a moment, and it takes everything Elizabeth's got not to look over at John to see his reaction. That would give away the game, and Rodney hasn't figured it out yet. "They do not resequence anything," Rodney says, in a tone that's aiming for patience and missing by a mile. He at least tries when it comes to Elizabeth, most of the time. "But it does change waste into energy," John says, reaching out to tilt the tablet towards himself without taking it from Elizabeth. "Resequencing." "Don't even," Rodney interjects, putting his hand up. "Why do I even? Elizabeth, I'm sure you can see the benefits of this technology," he says, not even pausing as he turns to block John out almost completely, "the way this could be used on Earth." Elizabeth bites the side of her tongue when she sees the glint in John's eye. "You mean," John says, taking a step towards the toilet, "you want everyone on Earth to have a toilet replicator?" "Will you stop with..." Rodney freezes mid-turn, his mouth hanging open when he catches sight of John's smile. "Oh, for the love of..." And then he's pushing forward, ever handsy and precise, shoving John against the bulkhead and kissing him. "For the record," Elizabeth says, stepping carefully into the fray, her chest tight at the way John immediately grabs for her wrist. "If either of you mentions toilets or replicators while we're having sex, I'm kicking you out." "As if I would ever," Rodney says, at the same time John's pressing a kiss into Elizabeth's hand and saying, "You'd never." The ensuing argument is just as easy and just as easily won. It's fun with John. It always has been, right from the start, back when it had just been a little joke between her and Rodney, back before they'd even approached John. "It's getting cold," Elizabeth says, unthinking, but Rodney catches her eye when they turn together to regard the fire. The Bessinian representatives had gone to bed hours ago. Even the rest of the team from Atlantis had already turned in, but there's still work to be done on the treaty, and Elizabeth isn't ready to call it quits yet. Rodney, with his endless supply of coffee and erratic working hours, is right there with her. John, on the other hand, is nearly asleep at the table. Rodney's mouth quirks up, and Elizabeth sits back, curious. "Shepherd," Rodney says, kicking at the leg of John's chair until John startles and sits bolt upright, glaring at him. "We're out of wood for the fire," Rodney says, tipping his head towards the crate by the fireplace, where there is indeed one lonely piece of wood left. John blinks, tired and slow, behind his glare. "Maybe we should take that as a sign and hit the hay." Elizabeth puts a hand on John's arm, drawing his attention. "We're so close to having this finished," she says, knowing the exact moment John caves. "There was wood and an axe right outside." Deflated, John says, "I suppose I'm the one who'll be out there in the snow chopping wood." "Well, obviously it won't be me," Rodney says, rotating his arm. "My shoulder still hasn't recovered, and Elizabeth's just getting over her cold." Elizabeth sniffles for emphasis. John sighs, rolling himself to his feet and shuffling out the door with only a few muttered complaints. There is decidedly little work done while John is outside, the sound of an axe on wood only jarring the first time. More distracting is the way Rodney keeps shifting in his seat, adjusting himself as he tries to look out the window. John shoves his way back inside soon enough, dumping a load of firewood inside the door. "It's fucking freezing out there," he growls, but he's tugging his jacket off. His T-shirt follows, clearly soaked through. The air is sharp with the scent of wood and fresh snow and John's sweat. John stands there, dusting snow out of his hair, his skin a patchwork of icy pale and flushed from labour. Rodney's out of his seat like a rocket, always faster in these moments than Elizabeth, more sure of himself. He tugs at John's dog tags, pulling him into a kiss that leaves even Elizabeth breathless. "No hands," Rodney snaps when John reaches for him. John's hands go up in immediate surrender. Those are cold enough to be considered weapons. Elizabeth joins them, letting her hands wander across the cool skin of John's chest, brushing against a nipple as she leans in to kiss his neck. "Now you just have to put the wood on the fire," Elizabeth says into John's ear, moving her hand to brush down the side of his belt. John hums agreement into the kiss Rodney's still giving, and Elizabeth knows who'll pull away first. "Come on, Colonel," Rodney says, stepping back entirely, his attention back on the tablets and papers spread across the table. "We still have work to do." John stares after him, his hands hanging in the air, mouth open. Elizabeth presses a kiss to his shoulder, pats his chest perfunctorily, and returns to her seat. Predictably, John doesn't say anything, just gathers up some of the wood more violently than necessary and tends the fire before slouching back into his chair. He has some respect for the rules, at least the nebulous ones that exist between the three of them. "I hate you," John says eventually when Rodney reaches out and places a hand on his knee. Elizabeth hides her smile. It's always fun with John. But it's more fun when John has to wait. When it's her turn, it's like nothing she's ever experienced. She knows the looks, the way Rodney won't look directly at her when he's up to something, the way John won't look away. She's learned to recognise exactly when the two of them are teaming up on her, but she never has any idea what they've devised. Rodney shuffles into her office late, late for a meeting he'd arranged with her earlier that day, and he doesn't look up from his tablet, just starts in on the schematic for some newly discovered lab on the northwest pier. Elizabeth follows, mostly because she's intrigued by where this is headed, but she freezes when her radio crackles, the sound faint in her ear. "Elizabeth?" That's John, breathless and desperate sounding, and entirely inappropriate for the setting. Elizabeth blinks, refocuses on Rodney, only to find him pressing a distracted hand to his own radio. It's a thin line. Her office is open for everyone, and her desk isn't even angled to hide her from the windows. There are dozens of people who could tamper with their radios, could tap the frequency, but Rodney looks calm enough, and Elizabeth trusts him. "As I was saying," Rodney continues, "and he and John might have cooked this up together, but there's a flush creeping up Rodney's neck now, too." "I'm already sold," Elizabeth says, leaning over her desk. "Why don't we get John up here to plan a reconnaissance mission?" She taps her radio, not looking away, as Rodney's gaze stays fixated on her hand. "Colonel Shepherd," she says. "Off duty," John says back, still breathless, but calmer, amused, maybe. "Well," Elizabeth says, feeling out the parameters for this round. "Rodney's got an idea he'd like to share with you. Maybe you could come up here and hear him out." Rodney's fidgeting now. "That really isn't necessary," he says, already pulling something new up on his tablet. "My room, 10 minutes, John says, short and to the point over the comm. Elizabeth leans her chin on her hand as Rodney grouses about his schedule and unfair demand on his time by the military, and still won't look her in the eye. You know, Elizabeth says when she steps into John's room exactly 10 minutes later, Rodney on her heels. You could just invite me over. I'm not likely to say no, at least not outside work hours. It is work hours, though, and she's here anyway, watching John where he's stretched out on the bed, invitingly nude amongst the blankets. Thought you could use some fun, John says. I told McKay to go with something more boring. That sets Rodney off, and John's sharing a smile with Elizabeth, the tables turning. You're right, she says, taking Rodney's tablet from his flailing hands. I want to know more about this lab. That shuts Rodney up and has John's face turning sour, the tide shifting against him. Elizabeth laughs and lets John pull her down into a kiss. You've got to be joking, he says against her lips. Rodney pulls at her jacket, pressing himself against her. We can talk about it later, he says. I don't know. Elizabeth lets them work at her clothes, their mouths trailing over the skin they uncover. I might have to go back to work. I think our meeting might last all afternoon, Rodney says, sliding to the floor. Elizabeth leans against John, feels the heat of him as he looks around her to watch. And my radio's been having problems all day, John says, tugging first Rodney's radio off and then Elizabeth's. Wouldn't want you to get any unwanted calls. Really, being with the two of them is unlike anything she's ever done before. The end.